Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. Read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. So let's pray. Our God in heaven, your word is more valuable than fine gold and sweeter than honey. Please give us a heart to believe it as we should. Give us ears to listen and hearts to believe and obey. May our eyes be lifted up to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now let's read James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. And now it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with my four kids, Kai, Ellie, Hannah, and Flick. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, what have we been learning these last few months as we've been going through the book of James? Ellie.
To live, pat our chest, work, hammer in a nail, wisely point to our head, for God point up.
That's right. James teaches us to live and work wisely for God. And here's Jemima, and she's learning the same lessons. Okay? She's been reading through the book of James, and so she's got her Bible glasses on. What do they help her to do? Kai?
See the world rightly.
That's right. See the world rightly, the way that the Bible shows us. And she's got her ears open, ready to listen to the Bible. But, you know, she's been having some really hard times. Really hard times when she's been at school. Because there's someone in her class who's a bit of a bully. Okay? Who doesn't treat Jemima very well at all. And so this bully, she will take the pencils that Jemima is using and she will shove Jemima as she walks past, and she'll call her mean names, never so that the teacher can hear it or see it, but Jemima feels really sad about this. Do you think you'd feel a bit sad if that was happening to you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not very nice at all. Now, Jemima, what do you think she should do? Hannah?
Tell the teacher.
Oh, I think you're right. She should tell the teacher. And so she has. She's told the teacher. And the teacher has said, well, I haven't noticed anything, but I'll keep my eyes out and I'll keep my ears open. Because she can't just punish this bully because Jemima says so, can she? She needs to see what's going on for herself. And so now Jemima has to wait. She has to wait for the time where the teacher catches the bully. Do you think that would be a hard thing to do? To wait for the teacher?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it would be really tough. But here's something which is really good. Jemima knows that her teacher cares for her. Okay, this teacher is a really good, kind teacher. And she doesn't allow bullies to keep on going bullying when she sees that they're doing it. Okay, so Jemima knows that she can wait. And she can wait patiently until the day when her teacher catches the bully in the act. And that's a lot like with Jesus. Do you know, in our world, there are lots of people who believe in Jesus who suffer because of it. They have a really hard time. Okay? They might get hurt. They'll get called names. There'll be things that they're not allowed to do that everyone else can do. It can be really hard to be a Christian in some places of the world. But they can hold on to Jesus. And they can wait patiently until the day when Jesus comes back. Because what's going to happen then? Can you tell me what's going to happen then? Ellie?
God will judge the world with justice.
That's right. God, Jesus, is going to judge the world with justice. And that means everything bad that has happened, everything bad that people have done, Jesus is going to punish. Jesus is going to make it right again. And so when people have treated God's people badly, we can know that God will bring justice. And so like Jemima is waiting patiently for her teacher to catch the bully in the act, we can wait patiently for God. We can wait patiently for God and for Jesus to come and to bring justice, because we know that they see it all. They've seen it. They've heard it. And they're coming. And that's really good news. And that's how we can live and work wisely for God, by waiting for Jesus to come and make everything right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus is coming and that he will make everything right. Help us to trust in him. Help us to wait for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Barnabas Fund, Open Doors, and Voice of the Martyrs are Christian organizations speaking out for the persecuted church. They inform Christians of what's happening around the world to God's church, the ways they're being persecuted, abused, mistreated. With the information they give, they help us in the West better pray for our suffering brothers and sisters. They also give opportunities to share what we have with them, to provide food, clothing, shelter, employment training. Most of these stories are ignored by the world media. When was the last time you heard of Muslim extremists going into a mostly Christian village and killing people? When did the media last report on the false allegations of Christians coercing and forcing Hindus to convert in India? The world doesn't care. There'll be no campaign. Instead, the world will spend lavishly on Christmas presents, because instead of being a time to reflect on Jesus and the incredible message that God became flesh to save us, it's become a day to swim the waters of materialism. But the biggest trouble for the believer isn't that the world ignores their suffering, but that it feels like God has abandoned them too. And we can feel the same. When our faith brings us into conflict with the world, our anguish feels the same as David's in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? James is writing to suffering Christians abused by the rich. Those asking how long may be tempted to give up waiting for their Lord. But James wants them to live and work wisely for God even in their suffering. And so he reminds and encourages them, Jesus is coming. At first, that might not sound so impressive. You might think there's nothing special about that, that those words are useless in the face of the world's hatred and abuse. But those words are a breath of fresh air. Hope should rise in the chest. We want it to happen now. But James tells us, in our first heading in verses 7 to 9, wait with patience. Look at verses 7 to 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. These verses start with a therefore, so we need to ask what the therefore is there for. When someone says therefore, they're basing what they're about to say on what they've already said. It's a cold day, therefore ice cream isn't the right choice for a dessert. Not having ice cream is based on the idea that it's a cold day. Here, James says believers are to be patient until the coming of the Lord. But what's the reason for the therefore? What's that based on? Look at the first part of chapter 5. They've been mistreated by the rich, and in verse 4, the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of the heavenly armies. Jesus has heard the cries of his abused people like he did when his people were crying out in Egypt. Verse 6 says, the rich have fattened their hearts as in a day of slaughter. Therefore, because Jesus has heard their cries and those exploiting them are primed for judgment, his people just need to be patient. James called this coming Lord the Lord of glory in chapter 2 verse 1. He's been raised to the right hand of God, the ultimate position of authority. He's on the throne, and in Psalm 2, God promised to make his enemies a footstool for his feet. His coming will have more than just the fanfare that Queen Elizabeth experienced in 1954. The coming of this monarch will mean judgment. Just imagine that kind of power and authority. And imagine the humiliation of his enemies as they kneel in front of the one they've defied and hated all their lives. And then to have the Lord use them as a footstool. It's an illustration of complete defeat and surrender. So wait with patience, suffering child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the judge, is coming. We don't know when. Just like the farmer doesn't know when the rains will come that his crops so desperately need. Some of you are former farmers, and I wonder how patiently you waited for rain. I have a friend who was the daughter of a farmer, and she doesn't think many farmers wait patiently. But still, they waited, knowing rain was completely out of their hands. And it's out of our hands when Jesus will return. But we're to be patient while we wait. Because you know what happens when we're not patient? Infighting, arguments, complaints, disunity. And James anticipates that in verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Kids, when someone hurts you, do you want to hurt them back? Do you want to act as the judge and make sure everyone knows that they're guilty of hurting you? If we're going to live and work wisely for God, we can't take justice and punishment into our own hands. We need to remember that Jesus will come one day. He's the judge, not us. Remember what James has already said about suffering. In chapter 1, verse 2, we're to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because the testing of our faith produces patience. If we're not patient, but instead full of grumbling and complaining, Jesus won't be pleased with that. That's not living and working wisely for God. That's living as though Jesus isn't coming. That's not waiting with patience. When people reject us because of Jesus, when they mock us and the media slanders us, and laws are made to restrict our freedoms, restrict our conversations on gender and sexuality, and we're told to sign documents affirming what goes against God's ways, what are we to do? Wait with patience. Be willing to suffer for our Lord, remembering what 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 22 say. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus is coming. Will you wait patiently, like he did for God when he suffered? And while we wait for Jesus, we might be tempted to think that we're the only ones who've gone through such hardship. That's what suffering does. It makes us self-focused, self-pitying, and self-deluded. So while waiting patiently, wait like the prophets, verses 10 to 11. Look at those verses. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Are you suffering for Jesus? I know most of us wouldn't think of saying we're persecuted, especially when we read the stories from Barnabas Fund, Open Doors, and Voice of the Martyrs. Open Doors tells the story of Jashim in Bangladesh. He became a Christian last year, and he's been telling others about Jesus, sharing his faith. If you're a Christian, Jashim is your brother. The angels rejoiced when he was found, repented of his sin, and trusted in Jesus, who died on the cross for him. And so what happened to your brother? In May, his extended family attacked him in broad daylight. They beat him, stabbed him because he trusted in Jesus and submitted to him as the Lord of glory. He escaped, and his pastor drove him to the hospital. I don't think there's many listening today who can say they've been stabbed because of their faith. When we hear stories like this, we're uncomfortable saying that we've been persecuted. That seems over the top compared with what others are going through for Jesus. But we do suffer. Some of you have had your family reject you or warn you not to talk about Jesus. You've had conflict with friends and family because you've held on to what God says about life in the womb, or sex, gender, or forgiveness and the way to God. Maybe you've lost a job, or left a job, because there was no way you could sign on the dotted line to some of the expectations, given your faith in Jesus. And maybe you've been tempted to throw in the towel, to give in on that aspect of your faith, or even to give up on the faith completely, because it'd be easier to not go to church today than to be criticized for it, easier to stay silent than to express the Bible's view and face discipline for it. If you're tempted to throw in the towel, remember the prophets. They were rejected and hated, and no wonder, like us, they were given a message of rebuke and warning. Jeremiah is a prime example. At the very beginning of his ministry, God had to prepare him for the opposition he'd face. God said, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah suffered, but God was with him, helping him to endure. He's called the weeping prophet. His life was hard, but, verse 11, we count them blessed who endure. And even more than Jeremiah, or Isaiah, who's said to have been sawn in two, or Jonah inside a fish, there's Job. The suffering of Job is a proverb known by people who've never even read the Bible. His friends kept telling him he was suffering because he was being punished, but he knew it wasn't so. He argued with them, he questioned God, but he persevered. He never cursed God, even though he'd lost his wealth, his children, and his health. And at the end of Job, we see God's compassion, a taste of the reward for all those who endure to the end, who endure the hardship of this life while clinging tightly to Jesus. He was blessed with more wealth and more children. James says, the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. As you go through hardship, wait with patience, like the prophets. Because God is so gracious, he rewards his people for doing the things they should do. God delights to show grace, to encourage us and give good things as we endure for him. Jesus is coming. He'll bring judgment on those who abuse his people and rescue those standing firm for him. But judgment is a sticking point for some. It brings to mind fire and brimstone preaching, emotional manipulation, scaring people into believing. Years ago, I was watching The Gruen Transfer, a show where they discussed ads on TV, whether they were effective or if they missed the mark. One time they discussed an ad by a Christian organisation arguing that teaching kids evolution, that they're not made by God, leads to school shootings, because who cares if you hurt people? They didn't like the element of fear in it, despite saying it was effective. But there were times they thought fear was appropriate. They just didn't like fear in religious arguments. Fear can be valid. It's used by people on both sides of every issue. People don't like talk of Jesus coming and judgment because they, maybe you, want religion to only be about making us feel good. But do you see how James is using judgment? It's a comfort, something to wait for patiently like the prophets did. Why? Because we want justice, wrongs to be righted, for God to defend us. We've given up on defending ourselves. We're trusting Jesus to deliver us from people hating us, abusing us, speaking evil about us, killing us, raping us. We long for justice like everyone else. And Jesus will bring perfect justice. Everyone who's been wronged longs for justice. And unlike our court system, when Jesus is through, there'll be no one who'll complain that it isn't fair. Jesus is coming to bring perfect justice. And Christians can be comforted, because they know they won't experience condemnation. Not because they've been so good, but because Jesus has taken that condemnation for us. He died so we could live. Jesus is coming, and that's something Christians long for, to live and work wisely for God, where to wait patiently, like the prophets. And as we remember that Jesus is coming, James urges us in verse 12, wait with integrity. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We won't spend as long on this point as we did on the others, but I'll make a few quick points. First, when James says, above all, that doesn't mean this is the most important thing he's said. It's a way of highlighting this point. He's saying, even though I'm not going to spend heaps of time explaining this, don't think that means it doesn't matter. Second, This isn't forbidding all oaths. Jesus said something similar in the Sermon on the Mount, and people have taken that to mean they shouldn't make oaths in court to tell the truth. They certainly shouldn't swear on the Bible. They might even refuse to become a member of a church promising to submit to the leadership and contribute to the church. I do wonder, though, how they manage to get married. If all vows and oaths are forbidden, that includes marriage vows. But they're not forbidding all oaths. Oaths and vows appear throughout the Bible. In Acts 21, this very same James, the brother of Jesus, speaks with Paul. Paul's been accused of teaching people to abandon the law of Moses. To show that's false, James himself tells Paul about these men in the church who are under a vow. He tells Paul to pay their expenses at the temple, to show he's still obeying the law, still respects it. And Paul does it. And so what's James and Jesus saying? In the first century, oaths had been degraded. People used them to weasel out of promises. If you swore on Jerusalem or the temple, you weren't bound. If you swore by the gold in the temple, though, then that was binding. I noticed on a TV show recently that one character swore on his children's life that he wasn't the father of this other child. But his wife was clever. She noticed his words. He hadn't said that nothing had happened between him and this other woman, only that the child wasn't his. While we wait for Jesus to come, we're to wait with integrity, not weasel out of the truth, not cross our fingers when making a promise. Suffering can make us try to get out of things. We might be tempted to sign a form at our work affirming lifestyles and behaviours which the Bible doesn't agree with. We might think it won't matter, just like the professing Christians in the first couple of centuries, who'd agree to throw some salt on a pagan altar as a sacrifice to the Caesar. They wouldn't really mean it. They'd ask for forgiveness later. But they wanted to escape scrutiny. They wanted to live. When you suffer, remember, Jesus is coming. Wait with integrity. Be a person of your word. In those official settings, court, your wedding, feel free to say vows to affirm what you're saying. That's fine. But in private situations, simply be someone of your word. Don't weasel out of suffering by being sneaky with your words. Live and work wisely for God, remembering that Jesus is coming. He'll bring justice and his reward. Wait patiently like the prophets and with integrity. Jesus is coming. Let that fuel you and encourage you in the fire of your suffering for him. Let's pray. God of grace and justice, we long for the coming of Jesus, for our brothers and sisters around the world suffering for your name to be vindicated, to be shown for what they are, to receive their reward for faithfully clinging to your name despite the hardships they've endured. And we want the same for us. We've been mistreated, we've suffered, we've experienced hatred by those who hate you. Please come soon, Lord Jesus, and give us patience while we wait. Make us effective servants while we wait, proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus. And may many come to faith in these days. May we experience revival, that many would escape the judgment to come. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.